So the other thing to remember on some of these nutrients during that spring flush period, it's also setting us up for a good set. So we have to have the proper amount of nutrients in the tree for those flower buds to set, which is just going to be in, you know, it's beginning to happen now in this area. We're in into the bloom period, and a healthy bloom creates a healthy set, which creates a larger crop. So we want to make sure everything's set up as we move into the bloom period to get the best set possible. So we're using things like micronutrients.
This is the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and the leading producer of quality fertilizer products. The podcast is intended to facilitate the transfer of knowledge for farmers and crop advisors, improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability. With Yara, knowledge grows.
Welcome to another edition of the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Here in the middle of April, we are finishing up the spring flush for citrus here in California and going into the flowering stage. We're going to talk today about the nutritional concerns and some golden nuggets of wisdom that are critical for this time in citrus. We're going to talk to two experts here in California about the California citrus, but much of the knowledge can be relevant in other areas. One of our experts is Vanessa Vicencio, who is a sales agronomist for Yara that covers the Central Valley of California. And our other expert is John Martzen with Gar Bennett. He is a retail agronomist that has been working in the Valley for over 40 years. John, to get the conversation started, tell us how important citrus is in California.
Yeah, it's a huge crop in California, and especially in the Southern San Joaquin Valley, you'd say from maybe Madera south is where it's real huge. And then there's some areas more along the foothills as you get into Northern California. But it's one of those crops where you need a warm region to grow it. So it tends to be found more along the foothills and the higher parts of the valley. Although with the increased acreage we've been having, more and more of it is moving out into what I call the flatland. And of course, you know, time will tell how that survives some of the freezes that we may have in the future. But yeah, it's obviously a very important crop here in California, and especially the Central Valley. And even still, there's some significant plantings in Southern California that are important to our economy also.
Vanessa, we just finished the spring flush, and we will reference in the show notes a good article that you wrote for our website talking about spring flush. How many stages are there in citrus, and where does the spring flush fall in that growth stage?
So I guess it depends to which crop advisor, which grower you're talking to, but typically there's probably, I'd say, 6 to 7 growth stages. We start off the year, I'd say, depending on where you're located, but talking here in California, maybe January, February, we have an early vegetative growth stage. We move into the spring flush or the pre-bloom growth stage period. Then you move into flowering or bloom. You've got petal fall, you've got fruit set, fruit fill. And of course, you go into the ripening, harvest, and post-harvest. So there's quite a few.
Excellent. We're just finishing up the spring flush. John, tell us what is important to know from an agronomic standpoint about that growth stage?
Well, one of the important things is, of course, that's the beginning of our growth cycle for the coming season. And we're setting up our plants to come into the bloom period with a very strong bloom and hoping to get the best set possible during that time period. So it's a time where we're setting up our crop for the next season to have the best growth possible. So it's a time where irrigation is important, but also our nutritional programs are important. And so we're doing those nutritional sprays at those time to do everything we can to help the flowering period come off as healthy as possible.
You've been doing this for over 40 years. What do you look for? What are the key concerns that you have from a nutritional standpoint during this growth time?
Well, probably some of the biggest needs we have in citrus, especially in our area, are zinc, manganese, and iron. And those tend to run short almost every time you run a soil or leaf sample. So those are some of the major minor elements, I guess I should say that we're doing applications with. And then, of course, we're setting it up as far as our nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash to make sure those levels are adequate. And during that spring flush period, you want to make sure that your levels are at a fairly high amount so that you can go into that bloom period making sure you have a healthy growth as possible.
Where does that baseline come from? How do you know whether you're low or adequate spraying chemical or these fertilizers that cost a lot of money?
Yeah, so we're relying on several things. Probably the basic thing we rely on is our tissue samples. We kind of, as we get into April, we want a little more leaf expansion to actually pull the sample this year. So we're going to rely more on samples from towards the end of the season last year and kind of help adjust our first shots based on what those are showing. And then obviously orchard history, if we know that, you know, we're consistently short on zinc in this field, that'll help us understand that we need to do those applications. And of course, just the history of how citrus grows and different citrus varieties are. Some varieties have a high need for certain micronutrients, where another variety might have another need. So we kind of adjust our spray programs based on varietal need also.
You know, it's kind of interesting to me, John, that you, when we're talking about a nutrition, what's important or top of mind in the spring flush, the nutrients that you mentioned were not the macronutrients. They're the secondary nutrients. Why is that?
Well, I mean, we still are obviously taking care of our nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash, but just basically two reasons. We've got a rapid growth going on, and it's kind of a cooler time of the year, so the tree isn't mining those as efficiently from the soil, so we need to apply those needs through the foliage. And just as we do our leaf and soil samples through different varieties throughout the valley, those are the ones that traditionally run short. And many times you can actually see it in the early season symptoms in the tree. And of course, if you see the symptoms, you're really almost too late to do the application. So you want to be doing your applications before you begin to see the symptoms of whatever nutrient deficiency you might be concerned about. The other thing is citrus is a very efficient user of foliar nutrients. Really, with the thick, waxy cuticle that it has, we're not overly concerned about getting phytotoxicity, although it can happen. It tends to happen less with citrus. So we can do a really good job putting a pretty good foliar load on without worrying about phytotoxicity on citrus.
Just to add a little bit to what John is saying is that during that spring flush period, you have these trees that are actively pushing this new growth. So like he said, they're in a high demand of nutrients. And the last thing you want is to, there's a saying, you don't want to run out of gas, right? So you don't want to run out of those nutrients. That's why you take your soil, your tissues to get you a good idea of what these trees need in order to not have these deficiencies pop up. Because like John said, once you actually see the deficiencies, like a visual deficiency, it could be a discoloration of the leaves. That's very common. Your crop, your trees have already been negatively affected. So we want to try to be proactive and not after the fact when we start seeing these deficiencies pop up.
Because that will absolutely negatively affect the flowering phase. Is that right, Vanessa?
Correct.
John, you mentioned a word that I'm not familiar with, phototoxicity.
Phytotoxicity. So phytotoxicity would be burn of the leaves from the chemicals themselves. So you might, I mean, if it was severe phytotoxicity, you could defoliate a tree. But generally what we'd see if we use excessive micronutrients or excessive nitrogen, you might see some marginal burning. Dropping of some buds, some of the young shoots will burn on you. So that obviously that's something you don't want to see. And citrus tends to be pretty forgiving when it comes to those kind of issues as compared to maybe stone fruit, which has a much more tender leaf. So if you go too high a rates on with some of your foliar nutrients on those, you might see that phytotoxicity much more easily.
Why is it important to do it foliar applied? Again, we're getting back to the 4R discussion. Why foliar versus soil applied?
So obviously you have to have in your soil the proper amounts of nutrients too. And we'll do some soil applied nutrition before we start hitting the spring flush period. But it takes more time for those to work its way into the plant and then up into the flush. So we want to make sure that what the tree needs right at that point is available. And so that's why we do a lot of foliar applications during the spring flush to make sure it's available to the tree right at that time, instead of having to go through the process of being taken up through the roots and maybe having to be metabolized so that it's available to the tree. That way it's there, much quicker metabolism right at the growing point where the tree needs it.
Just to add on to that, a lot of times you'll never have a perfect soil. You will have pH issues, whether your pH is too high, too low. So what happens is a lot of your nutrients get locked in the soil. So you can keep applying a fertilizer and you won't see a response in the trees. So that's why you have to resort to foliar nutrition.
That's a really good point. Thank you, Vanessa. John, you mentioned zinc and manganese. Vanessa, why is zinc and manganese important during this spring flush? What is that important? What does it do for the plant?
Well, basic agronomy, we know, I'm sure, or Scott, have you heard of Liebig's Law of the Minimum?
Of course, yes. But tell us again, for those who don't know what that is.
So I wish I had everyone could see a picture, but it's pretty much a picture of a barrel. So we know that all nutrients are essential. You know, we have our macros, our secondaries, and our micros, but they all have to be balanced in order for trees to thrive and have the yields that they're supposed to produce and so forth. So zinc and manganese, although they're micronutrients, they're incredibly important to support that crop. They maintain that fruit yield and the quality. So those are the biggest reasons why those micronutrients, there's certain times of the year where, you know, the crop will take up those nutrients. And although they're micros, it'll take them up in higher amounts. So spring flush is when you want to apply those.
Yeah. So the other thing to remember on some of these nutrients during that spring flush period, it's also setting us up for a good set. So we have to have the proper amount of nutrients in the tree for those flower buds to set, which is just going to be it's beginning to happen now in this area. We're into the bloom period, and a healthy bloom creates a healthy set, which creates a larger crop. So we want to make sure everything's set up as we move into the bloom period to get the best set possible. So we're using things like micronutrients as well as some products like seaweed to help enhance the sets, you know, some of the different hormones to help enhance the set as much as possible.
Let's say we missed it. Vanessa, you were saying that you don't want to run out of gas. Well, you know what? What if we did run out of gas? Is there a solution that can rectify that? Or are we pretty much thinking about the next year? John?
Well, obviously, at this critical time, you really don't want to run out of gas because it can affect your crop load that you may end up with. So doing everything you can to increase the set, to have that good flush of growth, to have a healthy tree moving into the bloom period, into the fruit set period, is extremely important. The other part of that is as we move through bloom into fruit set, that's also the time period of the most rapid expansion of our cells for cell division and expansion, which then determines our fruit size. You know, most of our fruit grown here in the valley is sold as fresh market fruit, not juice. Really, for us, the juice is a coal market. Things we can't market fresh, we'll sell it for juice, but that's not our desire. So size is important. Fruit quality is important. The visual is important. The holding ability is important. And a lot of that is controlled through having that balance of micronutrients in the tree as we move into the bloom into fruit set and then the sizing period of the fruit. That's all set up with a healthy program as we come into the spring flush period.
Hey, John, that brings up a great question. How do you develop a comprehensive nutrition program for citrus? Do you plan out the entire season, or do you go by growth stage, or how do you come up with your plan?
So I guess as you come into the season, you have a general plan lined out, maybe your normal program that you're planning on doing for the season. And it could be real similar to the program you use year after year. But then you're also doing tissue samples and soil samples. You're monitoring the growth of the tree. You might see something that doesn't look right, and you're going to kind of examine as to why that might be happening. Is it a disease issue? Is it a nutrition issue? Is it something else that you can overcome? So you're doing all that monitoring and then making adjustments to your program, both nutritionally, your disease program, your insect program, based on what you're seeing in the field. So as I come into the season, I have a general idea of what my plan is. I have a general idea of what products I might want to use. But then adjustments are made as we go into the season. And then, of course, availability is always another issue. You know, this year we've had a real problem with urea, been very hard. So that's when you have to start making some adjustments and call someone like Vanessa and say, hey, what do you have available to help replace the urea? Because we don't have, we can't get urea. And that's where some of the fine Yara products might come in, some of those great nitrogen products that you can substitute for what you thought you were going to be using, because it's just not available.
It almost sounded like we were on a football podcast there, John. It sounds like you plan your nutrition program like a football coach plans the game. You go in with a strategy and a plan, but depending on what happens, you have to make some micro adjustments, or maybe even some macro adjustments in that plan.
Yeah, it's ironic you say that, because I coached high school football for 15 years.
So. That's why. I heard it in your voice. I heard it in your voice,
in reality,
John.
Yeah, in reality, yeah, that's very true. You know, and in fact, Vanessa's husband and I coached together too. But it's like running a football game. Instead of being an hour long, it's a season long, and you have to make those adjustments as you move through the field according to what the other team is showing you, or according to what nature is showing you. And you make those adjustments, many times small adjustments, as you move through the season. Sometimes some major adjustments. Sometimes you got to go to halftime and throw out the plan and start all over. So, yeah, it's very true.
Well, let's pretend like we're going into the second quarter, which we are right now. If you're listening to this podcast, as soon as we release it, we finished up this flush, and we're going into flowering and fruit set. What things should we be looking for or paying attention to during this time, Vanessa?
Well, there's a few things you want to look out for. You want to look at your crop. You want to see how your flowers look. You want to look out for deficiencies as well. That's a major thing to look for. If you see any discoloration in your leaves, your flowering, of course, like John mentioned earlier, is fruit set. We want to retain as many of those flowers as possible, because the flowers, of course, are the fruit. So if you start seeing some deficiencies, it would be good to try to address those sooner than later, so we can maintain this year's crop.
John, what are you looking for as the coach on the sidelines looking at the second quarter flowering and fruit set?
Well, I'm evaluating what that flush looked like. Was it a good strong flush? Was there some weaknesses out there that maybe we need to bump up and do some stronger nutritional programs? I'm looking at the amount of flowers on the tree. Does it look like it's going to be a big set? Or a light set? You know, if I'm coming into a season that looks like the set might end up being pretty light, I might back up on some of my nutritional program, because believe it or not, you don't want your fruit to be too big. Plus, your income is likely to be a little bit less, so you might want to back off a little bit to make sure you're not spending an excess amount of money. But if you're coming in post into the bloom and it looks like you're going to have a huge set, well, then it better be put the throttle on and do the maximum you can do, because you got to maximize that crop at that point. You got to maximize the size, especially with some of these easy peeler varieties. If you overset those and don't work to size those, your fruit's going to be too small. And there's many things we can do to manipulate that set. But once you have that set, manipulating the size, other than having to thin it by hand or prune it off, some of it off, is by how you work your nutritional program and making sure that program is strong and you're meeting every nutritional need as you move forward through the season.
So we're finishing up spring of 2021. How does this year's crop look, Vanessa, as you're going around and meeting with agronomists and growers?
Well, it's hit or miss. I see some pretty big crops, and then I see some light crops and a lot of erratic bloom. You know, you've got popcorn bloom, and then you've got a full open flower. So it's hit or miss, but it looks overall like it's going to be a good crop.
Why do you think that is? Why is it hit or miss? Is that a misjudging of nutrition, or is it a weather deal, or what is it?
The weather definitely plays a role. Also location, you know, up and down the valley, it's different. Southern Valley, you know, I hear there's heavy flowers. We don't know what the set is just yet, but you know, it's just a funny thing. You can't really tell, but if you do have a history, you know, if last year your tissues and your soils just looked bad and you didn't try to mitigate those issues, if you didn't address them, then chances are you might have had some issues and it would affect this year's crop.
What are you seeing, John?
Well, kind of as Vanessa said, it looks like a little bit of a mixed bag. And probably one of the other factors involved in that is we had a pretty heavy set last year and a pretty good sized crop. So especially depending on the variety, some varieties will tend to alternate bear on you. So if you had a big crop this year, next year you might tend to be a little bit lighter. And then also how long that crop had to hang. The market's been a little bit tougher this year with some of the export program problems we've had, you know, boats being tied up at the port, a lot of crop to move because it is a larger crop. So the fact that some of these varieties are hanging longer, obviously that's not true of Valencia, something like Valencia, which is made to, you know, which does hang through the whole season. But some of these varieties really aren't bred to hang a long period of time. So you have more of a draw of your nutrients on the tree moving into bloom, which can affect your set for the following year. So that's one of the other factors, is just that the crop seems to be hanging a little bit longer this year. And I think that's going to affect our crop we have this following season.
John, you brought up a question in my mind, these alternate bearing varieties. How do you address that with a nutrition program? Do you keep the same basic nutrition program, or do you scale back on the light years and scale up on the strong years?
I guess the best answer is yes and no as far as scaling back. So if you know you're going to have a light set, you're going to do everything you can to set every flower you have. So you might actually boost some of your nutrition programs with products that you think are going to help set, things like making sure your zinc levels are the highest possible, you know, doing some of those seaweed products to help set the crop. So if you think you're coming into that light set, you're going to do all that you can. If you think it's going to be a heavy set, well, you might even want to encourage some of that, those flowers to drop on you and not set. So there again, you might manipulate some of the things you're doing to cut back on that set. The other thing is if some of it's guessing, but if you think you're going to have a heavy a year with a heavy set, maybe you're going to prune that tree a little harder this season. You know, traditionally we don't prune citrus that hard, but every once in a while we'll go in and cut them. So you know you're going to have a heavy set. That might be the year you choose to prune it a little bit harder to take some of that flower off. And then once you've done that, you want to grow the best crop possible. So you're going to make sure your nutritional program is strong. But overall, if you have a heavy set, you're going to have to go full throttle on what your nutritional program is, because you've got to make sure that you get the maximum size you can. Small fruit does not sell. So we've got to make sure we have good sized fruit to sell.
I'm going to ask you both this question, and you can decide who gets the first drop at answering. What is one of the biggest opportunities that citrus farmers are not taking advantage of?
Water management is important, and I think we've gotten a lot better at that. But that's, I think some growers need some help on that. Some of the underground issues kind of tend to get ignored, like Phytophthora, root rot. But I think we've gotten better on that. Overall, citrus growers, just because they're mostly using drip or sprinkler irrigation, tend to be pretty good on irrigation, but I think that's an area where we can get better. A lot of folks are moving from micro sprinklers into twin line drip. And so that's a whole different curve on learning how to manage that. So that whole management part needs to be paid attention to. But some of the mistakes we make are not taking advantage of the opportunity we have as far as crop by maximizing our nutritional program, our insecticide program, just making sure we can do the best job we can. Sometimes when you're coming out of a year like this, it tends to be a little bit tough. We tend to pull back on what we spend. And sometimes that can be a mistake, because then you're missing out on the opportunity you might have the coming season, especially if there was a heavy crop this year and we're expecting a light set. Well, that means it's probably going to be a little bit lighter crop next year. I mean, it's hard to predict that, but there's a good chance of that. And if you haven't spent the money to make the highest quality crop possible, it's like a missed opportunity. It's like not kicking that field goal when it was a sure deal, and trying for the run and not making it. It's a lost opportunity. And those are the things I think that really cost growers in general money is missing those opportunities when they come along, and recognizing those economic opportunities that might be available.
Just to add, John, you said it exactly what I was thinking. Just to add is that, yes, I think a lot of times growers, especially when you have a year like we have had, like last year, this year, there's a lot of uncertainty, especially I keep hearing last year. Yeah, last year it was good for some, not so good for others. And so this year everyone's, or I should say the majority of growers are a bit hesitant, and they're afraid to put too much money into their crops, especially with prices not being so great. But if you cut back too much on your nutrition, your pest management, everything that you need to do to get the greatest possible yield and a healthy crop, a healthy tree for next year, as John said, you're going to miss out. What's going to happen next year is you might suffer, losses, because your trees are not going to go into the following season healthy. You're going to affect next season's crop.
Well, we appreciate the discussion we've had, John. Thanks for joining us. If someone is interested in learning more from you or from some of your other colleagues at Gar Bennett, how can they find out more?
Probably the best way is give our office a call at 559-638-6311, or call me personally at 559-908-9867. And we'd love to talk to you about some of the opportunities we have to work with you. And if I personally can't work with you, we're spread here in the valley from Bakersfield to Chowchilla. So we've probably got someone in your area, if you're in the citrus growing region, that would love to work with you. So give us a call and we'll set something up, and we'd love to work with you and help grow the highest quality citrus crop you can.
Thank you, John. Vanessa, how does someone learn more about Yara's citrus fertility programs?
Well, they can directly call me, of course. My contact information is found on the Yara website, or they can call me 559-909-5175. I'm happy to help. I've got a pretty big territory here in California, a lot of citrus here. And as John said, we're here to help you guys.
Thank you. You can also find out more at yara.us. Just type in citrus. There's a whole section there, including the really good article that Vanessa wrote that you may have found on LinkedIn or Facebook or something like that. Very good articles that that Vanessa and her team is putting out. We hope this podcast grew your knowledge, and we also hope that you can enjoy some good citrus as the year goes on, and we hope we have a good crop and we can all enjoy some yummy citrus in the fall.
You've been listening to the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. For more information about our company, please visit us at www.yara.com or yara.us, or for Canada, yaracanada.ca.